Welcome, everyone, to the Pop Culture Podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Hello, Pete.
Hello, Matt. Hello, everybody. Here today to talk MODOK on Hulu here, part of our continuing Buffet May coverage.
Indeed, Pete. By my reckoning, this the end point of Marvel Television as its own division. Of course, 17 months ago, the division itself was shut down, which led to me being surprised. Look, I get it. There's a lot of production time ahead of shooting. Then there's all the stop motion animation stuff for MODOK. The fact that this carried a Marvel Television tag was the first of many surprises.
Yeah, and you could see, too, given the Robot Chicken inspired animation, the claymation type of deal here, why there would be such a lead up to dropping this here in May of 2021.
So, Pete, the last time we spoke about the waning days of Marvel Television, it was in the neighborhood of New York Comic Con, an all virtual event last October. We had gotten a little sizzle of Hellstrom. It might have been the first episode. I don't quite remember. Maybe it was just a couple scenes. We also had the MODOK panel. Hellstrom, when released on Hulu, did not carry with it any Marvel branding or whatnot. As mentioned just a couple minutes ago, MODOK did. And I think, Pete, let's start with this. MODOK, the better of the two.
Definitely. And the way to do this character, such a bizarre, personality, and to have Patton Oswalt do it, obviously Seth Green's influence felt largely here as well. It's funny too, Matt, we talk about, this being the last of the old Marvel TV. They've now officially done everything. They've done the horror show. Now they've got the animated show. So kind of a good place to put this to rest. This is, Kevin Smith's Howard the Duck animated show that was supposed to come to Hulu, never really got going, and they shelved that, in January of 2020. And I think the best, the better project moved through.
Yes, and this is certainly a cast worth celebrating. You mentioned Patton Oswalt as MODOK, Amy Garcia as Jody, Ben Schwartz, who, Pete, I love from a program called Parks and Recreation that hopefully one day you'll check out. He's the son. Melissa Fumero, of course, well-known from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, is in there as Melissa. Wendy McClendon Covey, who is from Reno 911, perhaps best remembered from there. And then...
Or maybe from, the Goldbergs, Matt?
I've seen some of the Goldbergs, which I understand Pete has just been renewed for either an eighth or ninth season
and not the final season.
And then also on that list, Sam Richardson, who immediately I was like, that's Richard Splett from Veep. And so it's a great cast. Pete, where do you want to take it from there? Because I think we have slightly diverging opinions of that first episode.
I mean, like I said before, this is the way to do it. And it's so madcap. It's so over the top. And being able to play with all the Marvel toys, I mean, to be able to use Iron Man, Tony Stark, with a fair approximation of Robert Downey Jr. in that pilot, is the embarrassment of riches that they have in the old toy chest.
I was surprised to see Iron Man show up. I think that, I mean, again, too, I think it was a little difficult to watch this first episode without bringing all the baggage, which maybe is unfair. And by baggage, the demise of Marvel Television, the kind of somewhat stranding of this. I mean, I guess this was always headed towards Hulu, and this is a good place for it. Certainly better than Freeform or something like that, that skews a bit younger and maybe a little less, Freeform skews a little less crass than this was. And I don't mean crass as a negative here. It is what it is. Pete, I thought that one of the funniest jokes was right out of the gate when MODOK is referred to as having been womb busting. I hope that's not
yes.
I hope that's not too kind of masculine and gendered a joke to be appreciating. Again, obviously a bit crass, but it made me chuckle. I don't know. I just kind of felt like Pete, on paper, it should work. You have the home life, you have the work life. I just kept, as I said on Twitter, I just kind of kept, again, almost assuredly over-reading into it. But here, MODOK, who thinks he's a genius in charge of AIM, I'm like, is that a stand-in for Jeff Loeb? You then have Austin coming in, the younger cool guy who owns Grumble. Is that Kevin Feige coming in, taking over? Oh, sorry, MODOK / Jeff Loeb. You don't have the power anymore that you used to. This is what was going on in my head, which, if nothing else, maybe I shouldn't have been in that tangent if the pilot was really grabbing me by the shoulders and saying, laugh when you laugh and dig into the family stuff and feel the feels and so forth.
For me, Patton Oswalt here playing another Marvel TV character after playing the Koenigs in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And, you know, I'm hopeful. I'm three episodes in. I'm hopeful that at some point that becomes a joke. I know they went very deep. I mean, geez, we get the Fing Fang Foom, you know, and the pilot has shown up in one of the other episodes as well. I think for the most part, they squared this up. I was really pretty surprised at the end of the pilot to tilt to the divorce thing. And thus far, they seem to be sticking with that, although there are attempts to undo it. So the premise that we were pitched and sold on of the family drama, not so much, more of a broken family. But it's entertaining. And again, to be able to get this character that there's no way you'd ever be able to do in live action, and to lean into the craziness of it all. I mean, that the daughter's in the hover chair, and that in another episode they go through, you know, them having children and him making the chair for the daughter and all of that. It's cute. It tries at times to be sentimental, but doesn't take itself too seriously.
I certainly would agree that there's a breeziness to it. And the glue to it all, of course, is Patton Oswalt. I don't know, Pete, I felt like somehow it wasn't... The sum of it was not greater than its parts. And again, I was watching it with all this kind of, you know, kind of inside baseball, Hollywood intrigue knowledge, I don't know that I brought other baggage to it. You know, I wasn't having a bad day, or I don't hate MODOK, or I'm not upset that they didn't get John Hodgman for MODOK, although John Hodgman has replied to Fantastic Geek tweets saying that he would have liked to play MODOK. This is going back several years. You know, there's kind of no, you know, it's not that I think this should have been live action and it's being desecrated as stop motion or anything like that. I like this cast. I like this presentation. It just kind of didn't land for me, and I'm not sure why.
I really appreciated a lot of the side stuff they've done so far. You know, the AIM henchman that gets his arm blasted off, Gary, that they continue to return to here, and it's always a joke that, you know, oh, sorry, I was having phantom limb pain, and, you know, you shot off my favorite arm. And everything like that. Like, I think that's where the show excels the most, at least with what I've watched thus far.
Pete, you can never trust a Gary. You gotta watch out for those Garys out there. So I guess another topic to hit here. The kind of main producer behind it, Jordan Blum, has said that a second season is planned. And that was said back in April. That, I have to admit, Pete, surprised me. You know, I don't mean to continue to hit this intrigue stuff too much, but I really, really thought that kind of like, you know, when Marvel Studios took oversight of and dispensed with Marvel Television, I really kind of thought it was like, oh, you have a Marvel TV badge. That's essentially the scarlet letter here at Marvel Town. Finish up what you're working on, and then here's a banker's box. Hope your plant and pens fit in there. Goodbye. So, Pete, I guess there's hope. Yeah, it's like Cap there, right before the portals opened up, when all hope is lost for this, the last show from Marvel Television. Maybe there's a shot at the second season.
I know they've talked about that. I just, with all the corporate machinations, I find it really hard to believe that's going to happen, especially with the amount of effort that goes into this type of show. I mean, this is lovingly put together and is a joy to look at. Yes, some of the humor doesn't always land. It's more funny instead of funny haha, but you know, you can't deny the level of effort that goes into it. That's where I gotta wonder, will they invest to show us more?
I think the basic kind of infrastructure investment, if you will, is a good one. The stop motion done by Stupid Buddy Studios. That's two O's in both Stupid and Studios. I guess actually it's three O's in Studios. That's Seth Green and company's group there. I feel like stop motion doesn't always work. This stop motion definitely worked. Kind of none of it ever had that moment of, you know, I get a sense that we're on a stage or we're in a boxed off kind of area. It felt kind of appropriate to what we were, appropriate to the story they wanted to tell, which of course does have, I don't know, by virtue of the fact that it's stop motion, by virtue of the fact that it's as weird a character as MODOK, of course it's going to, I guess what I'm trying to say is that the stop motion was, you know, served the story, and the story was served by how it was presented with stop motion.
Yeah, and that they go into these corners of MODOK's world that we have not visited in the comics, that you could only do in this way with this robot chicken sensibility, makes the most sense in terms of this material. So understanding it, nailing the tone, okay. It's not always what you and I would, you know, again and again return to, but I think as this last gasp of Marvel TV that it represents, as we're waiting and podcasting these other things for Loki in June, all right, this is a respite. This is a thing I will check out. I know there have been people certainly who have enjoyed it. I know there's people who have been like, yeah, I started it and no thanks.
And Pete, just to clarify, I guess the entire foundation upon which season two is built is Jordan Blum, the producer, saying, talking about the Melissa character, the daughter there. Yes, Melissa is bi. Season one focuses mostly on her relationship with dad, but season two will introduce her girlfriend. So maybe that's a little bit less than, oh man, we have a great 10-episode arc planned out and we're just waiting to hear about the green light or things like that. What does occur to me, I know that, Pete, we've talked for Star Trek Lower Decks. We've talked for the What If series. And I'm even thinking all the way back to several New York Comic Cons ago when we saw there was an animated sequel to the Batman 1966 series. So it was an animated kind of movie with the late, great Adam West and Burt Ward. And
they made two. They wound up making the second one with Shatner as Two-Face.
They did, but for all three of those examples, the Batman 66 animated, Lower Decks, and What If, all of them were always doing part two or season two. That was always part of the plan. Like this big reveal, oh man, we're going to do another movie. We're going to do another Batman 66 animated movie. It takes more than a year to produce it, and they announce then and there, the next one will be out in a year. Yeah, because production's already underway. Same thing with Lower Decks. Oh my goodness, it's been renewed for a second season. we had already established they were working on the second season. You know, same thing with What If. It's 2 10-episode blocks. Okay, do the first 10 before the next 10. But if you have a really great, you know, artistic inspiration thing for, you know, the season 2 opener, okay, get that art to the boss right now and so forth. So I guess that's a long way to say maybe they know they're already making season 2 of MODOK, or maybe this is aspirational, because it's like, if they're not making it now, especially in the world of stop motion, mm-hmm. if they're not already making it now, when's MODOK season 2 going to be out? 18 months? 2 years? You know, that's, at that point, the newness factor will have worn off quite a bit.
Yeah, given that we had seen so much back in October, and then to hear, oh, this hits Hulu in May, I thought it'd be much, much earlier that it happened. And of course, like everything else, COVID, and you don't know the extent to which that was hindering post-production or production. Not quite sure where they were. But yeah, you know, okay, second season, but when and, you know, how long to be able to do that? Let's hope that it happens. I would welcome the opportunity to check out more of this. The storyline for that second season as pitched is something I think is interesting. I think something there is a thirst for in terms of this type of entertainment. Let's hope they get it.
Pete, let's see what listeners are saying about MODOK. We ran a poll, and Pete, I had to. How would this episode be rated? It was going to be the number of lobes, okay? That's in Jeff Loeb, L-O-E-B. So one lobe in human got 6.3%. Two lobes fading got 25%, which is a pretty... Pete, normally we don't see 25% giving it 2. I'll just point out there. Three lobes, pretty good, got 18.8%. And then four lobes, brilliant, got 50%. Pete, doubtless Jeff Loeb himself had voted the four lobes there. Some tweets in response. We had 2 from Steve Thurberge. That's at Steve Thurberge. Lots of irreverent fun. Patton and crew are great. Still undecided on hashtag who is Mephisto. Actually, I take that back. Looks like the second tweet chronologically came first, and that Steve was saying he was going to watch after the Bruins game. So, Pete, I hope the Bruins did well. We also heard from Andre Yeager, that's at Dr. Polo 1983. My sides are hurting, laughing too hard. I binged the first 6 episodes. Got to get some sleep, but I'll be back at it in the morning. You can tell this was a labor of love for Patton Oswalt. No holds barred in the jokes. Pete, they need to take Andre Yeager's words, do what do they call it? A quote poll or whatever?
Poll quote.
That needs to be on the back of the DVD. In fact, I'm going to tweet that right now at Patton Oswalt and Jordan Blum, because that's just the way it is.
Yeah, and I had watched the first one and then seen Andre's tweet, and I'm like, all right, I got to watch a couple more here. To make sure I get enough of a sampling size. And like I said, I'm not done with it. We're going to podcast Army of the Dead tomorrow. Zack Snyder's Netflix return to the Dawn of the Dead-averse. But definitely looking forward to checking out some more MODOK in addition to all the other stuff we do.
Absolutely. And this time next week, give or take, maybe it'll be Saturday, maybe it'll be Sunday, we'll be talking some Star Trek. And
not just some Star Trek, Matt.
The Star Trek universe? Star Trek? What is there news I missed?
The worst of Star Trek.
Yes, of course. The worst of Star Trek. Pete, we still need to decide off mic whether what I personally feel is objectively the worst episode of Star Trek, in that it is patently offensive and the antithesis of Gene's vision, whether we get that out of the way first or last, regardless, from that that episode notwithstanding, should be a lot of fun, because all Star Trek is Star Trek that we can love, even most of the worst.
We try. All this leading up, of course, to a Loki preview for the Disney Plus series. The first week of June, and then June 9th, Matt, Wednesday, June 9th, that first episode drops, and we'll be bringing you our first podcast.
can't wait. I think it's the perfect. We've talked before, particularly with some of the with these Disney Plus shows, how none of them were made with COVID in mind. I mean, some of them were completed in a COVID safety scenario, but it's not like there was some master plan. Hey, let's make content for COVID. Loki is the right time. You know, this summer, as we start to relax a little bit, we can get a Loki show that's going to be more fun than not. I don't think we're going to be looking at issues of work-life balance for women. I don't think we're going to be looking at issues of grief, losing one's family, race versus expectations of the majority, and so forth. And, you know, much love to WandaVision, much love to Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Loki is the right summer show for this summer. It's the right time and so forth, and I can't wait to dive into that. Of course, that'll have its own podcast feed, but if you're listening to this on the Pop Culture Podcast, as you must be because this episode is solely for the PCP, those episodes will be simulcast here as well.
And of course, Matt, all of these podcasts made possible by the good people of patreon.com/fantasticgeek.
Indeed, Pete. I know I've said this before on the podcast, but it's true. I listen to some other podcasts and go, okay, here's where they're going to talk about their sponsor, and it's the fresh fruit or the meal packets or whatever. Okay, I'm going to fast forward. I'm going to fast forward again. Oh my goodness, you're going to spend 6 minutes in your 45-minute podcast. You have 2 6-minute ad breaks and whatnot. Pete, our only ad is just for ourselves to say, hey, we have some costs behind the scenes. We are so grateful that people support us on patreon.com/fantasticgeek. Fine, sometimes we're guilty of moving up the Patreon push to a point before the end of the podcast episode. Hey, business is business sometimes, but we are so pleased to be listener supported and just to know that the cost that we do accrue, we get that help along the way from listeners, and it's kind of as simple as that. So, as always, so appreciated and so from the heart.
Everybody who contributes gets access to exclusive podcast content. You set the value of this entertainment. Get yourself over to patreon.com/fantasticgeek. Takes just $1 to get in there. Can't contribute right now? Head over to Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating or a review, all of which help us immeasurably.
Pete, as we look ahead to Army of the Dead tomorrow, Star Trek next week, Loki next month, Black Widow the month after that, how can people be in touch with you on the Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, PieterJKetelaar, KetelaaR, 11,962 followers, can't be wrong.
And while I'm personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast, comment on FantasticGeek.com. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/FantasticGeek, all one word with the P and the H, like it today.
We will be back tomorrow talking about Zack Snyder's best movie of the year, and then obviously Star Trek and Loki ahead. With that, Pete, I will say adios to all our listeners and give you the final word.
Moodock.